And I'm back again. Cheers, Lorraine. Thank you. Well, I didn't get a message or anything like that, but it's nice that... and so I'm sure you'll all be lining up for a good look and a cuddle later on. I'm open to that as well, but we'll see. So, it's Palm Sunday. It's been... I've had something on my mind, clearly. Last week I preached about, well, using some of my stories of my own experience of what it means to become a parent. Till on Tuesday, baby Joe will be 4 weeks old, and he's it was a big boy already, but he's getting even bigger, those chubby cheeks and things like that. You'll be able to see him later. But I preached last week on how, apart from God, like he says in John 15, apart from him, we can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches. And how that can really feel on the surface of it quite disempowering. What do you mean I can do nothing? Or like we were singing earlier, I am nothing but you make me your own. And we spoke a little bit about how that's far from being disempowering or making you powerless. It's not saying, you know, we're just on the bottom of God's shoe, that we're worthless or insignificant. It's quite the opposite, in fact. When we come to God in surrender, when we come to God and say, you know, I can't do this, but you can. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen The Lion King, where little Simba, the cub Simba, is trying to chase off the hyenas and they're not having it. And then all of a sudden there's this massive roar behind him as Mufasa, his father, roars on his behalf and sends him away. That's what it's like. You know, our roar combined with God is what sends the devil fleeing. And I really wanted to do, I don't know if it's a part two, but a continuation of that today. The last holiday before Joseph arrived, we went to Athens, and Rachel did a great message about how we were on top of the Areopagus where Paul was preaching. And one of the things that Paul did there, like Rachel was saying, was that he actually used some of their lingo. The Greeks, the Romans, the people around at the time, he was quoting from their poets, actually from Acts 17, verse 28. And he's quoting a Greek poet. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. Or like another poet says, he says, we are his offspring, we are his children. And where I want to go today is that I really want to focus on that word being. So often, sometimes, you know, we're caught up in a world full of calendars and to-do lists and schedules. I was somehow thrown out of that, it's certainly for 2 weeks after Joseph arrived. I've heard it's, you know, a baby arriving in your world is like being thrown back into deep time. Sure, there's a clock on the wall, but you barely pay attention to it. The days blend into one. It's completely normal to have a Black Forest gatto for breakfast and different things like that. I can't remember who brought it, but whoever you were, thank you very much for that. And living in deep time, that's what it is. But it's quite foreign to us sometimes. And it was a strange feeling for me to just be, to just live in that strange sort of in-betweeny kind of state. But I think that spiritually, certainly, and spilling out into every area of our life, that's how God wants us to live. Yeah, we've got to be disciplined. Yeah, we have got to have a schedule. And I thank you all very much for showing up to church on time, 9 and 1 and things like that. You know, we need some sort of structure in our world. But at the same time, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. It doesn't say in him we live and move and have our doing. Now, whilst that's true, being, I think, is what Paul is trying to focus on. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Not to do the work of a Christian, not to do life, but to be living with God. And when I was thinking about this, I was, you know, looking through my notes, and all of these apps are trying to, you know, charge me however much a month when it was previously for free, and I'm shuffling them around. Years ago, when Rachel and I were at Bible college, and I looked through it, and I thought, oh, that's pretty good, if I don't say so myself. Now, I've updated it a little bit, but this is something that I was drawn to, Psalm 103, which is one of my favorite psalms. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a Bible on your phone, or if you're old-fashioned and have a paper Bible, which I highly recommend, Psalm 103. I'd love to read to you the first few verses. Now, the whole thing is worth meditating on, but Psalm 103, listen to this. I'm reading from the NLT version here. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. In your version, it might say something like, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. Praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good that he has done for me. What sort of things, you might be asking? Well, verse 3. He forgives all of my sins. Sounds pretty good. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. This morning, as a continuation of being connected to Jesus, apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do everything. I want to transition from the doing to the being this morning. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel sometimes, or have felt in my life as a Christian, I know that I'm saved by grace. I know it's nothing to do with me. And yet somehow, on the other side of it, I find myself trying to just work as if I could ever pay God back for what he did for me. I have to pray enough. I have to read my Bible enough. I have to do this, do that. I have to attend not just one, not just two, but three church services a week. I have to be plugged into this, that, and the other. I have to do the Christian life. And whilst all of those are good things, I think first and foremost, God says, just be. Like it says elsewhere in his word, it's not on the screen, but be still, be at rest, and know that I am God. And Psalm 103 really, 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 really tries to hammer this point home. He forgives your sins, every single one of them. He heals your diseases, every single one of them, all of them. And if you look up that Hebrew word in the dictionary, that word for all, do you know what it means? It means all. It means every single one. We all believe that God forgives us for our sin. And yet, sometimes I find myself apologizing for something I've done 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, as if God is still somehow holding a grudge. Or the next one, heals all of his diseases. Now, I've seen and I've experienced God healing people. God has healed me. I shared a testimony a while back of God healing my legs. God has moved through me to heal other people. And yet, somehow, you know, I'm still wearing glasses. I'm not fully healed in many respects. If you were to feed me, you know, pine nuts or peanuts, I would keel over and kick the bucket. I'm allergic. I've been healed in some sense, but not all. And yet, what's going on there? Because in this psalm it says all of our sickness, all of it. And I think sometimes we make excuses. Sometimes we read things like this and we think, God, you forget all of my... Somehow, these words can fall short of our experience sometimes. And we make excuses. Let's take the idea of healing. You know, we all believe that God heals. And yet what happens when you pray for someone and they don't immediately get better? What happens? I think sometimes we try and make excuses. We think, oh, well, you just didn't believe enough, or I didn't have enough faith. But do you know, you read through the Gospels, is there ever a single time that someone comes to Jesus with a need, a sickness or something, and he turns them away? There's not one. Every single person who came to Jesus was healed, was set free. Jesus never said, oh, come back again when you've prayed enough. Come back again when you've memorized enough scripture. Come back again when you have enough faith, and then I will heal you. He never says that. In fact, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains. Maybe sometimes you're thinking, I don't have enough faith. You know, the Bible says one thing, he forgives me, but I just still feel the weight of this guilt. Or the Bible says that, you know, all of my sickness, all of my issues can be healed, but I'm somehow just still trapped in this. I just don't have enough faith. Well, maybe you don't, but maybe what you need to do is find someone who does have the faith, get them to pray, and then you just say amen at the end of it. Maybe we sometimes think, oh, it's not my time. You know, God has a plan, and it's not my time to be set free, or it's not my time to triumph over this, or it's not my time to be healed. Again, Jesus saw a 100% success rate. Why should we expect any less? Why is it that we feel sometimes as Christians, yeah, I'm forgiven of this, but that issue, I don't know if God can let it go. Or I've seen this breakthrough, I've seen this miracle in my life, and yet somehow this still isn't tidied up. God still hasn't reached this area. I think these are the questions that we wrestle with sometimes as believers, as we try and do the work of a Christian. What I've found is Jesus, he says to us, we've got to keep on seeking. We've got to keep on asking. We've got to keep on knocking. And let's not make any excuses. I think this morning, as we transition from doing the Christian life into just settling into a place of, we can stop making excuses. Now, I love films, and I love it when we do Church of the Movies, and we'll hopefully be bringing that back at some point this year, where we preach out of movie clips using well-known scenes. I love, one of my favorite films is The Matrix. I don't know how many of you have seen it. It's a fantastic film, and a shot of it will come up behind me on the screen. The first one, absolutely amazing piece of art. The second one, it was okay. Third one, pretty terrible, and don't even talk to me about the fourth one, but that's beside the point. The first one, amazing. And there's this scene in The Matrix where they're in this computer-generated world. We have our main character, Neo, who is learning what it means to live in The Matrix, to unlock his power. And we have his teacher, Morpheus, who's training him, and they're sparring, they're fighting. And Morpheus says, come on, I want you to hit me. But no matter how hard he tries, how fast he moves, how strong he thinks he is, he just can't do it. He just can't hit Morpheus. And he starts making excuses. Morpheus says, why can't you do it? You're stronger than you think you are. And Neo, he just makes up excuses. He says, you're too quick. You're too strong. I'm not good enough. You're so much better than I am. And Morpheus replies, they're in a computer-generated world. They're not in the real world. They're in the Matrix. Morpheus says to him, do you really think that me being stronger than you or faster than you has anything to do with my physical muscles in this place? He says, do you think that that's real air that you're breathing right now in this computer-generated world? He says, come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me. And I think that's our excuse sometimes. We see, we experience, we read in the Word the power of God, the glory of God, the forgiveness and the grace of God. And when we don't get it, when somehow we don't get it straight away, we start falling down. We start making excuses. But then in Galatians 3:5, Paul says this, and I think he's picking up, or Morpheus was picking up a little bit on this. He says this, I ask you again, promises, all of the good things that God has in store for us, forgiveness, life, and life to the full, grace, healing. Does he do that because of our good behavior? Does he do that because of how many rules we follow? Does he do that because we obey the law? Of course not. Of course not. It's because you believe. You believe the message that you heard about Christ. Like Morpheus says, do you think that me being stronger or faster has anything to do with my muscles in this computer-generated matrix? Like Paul says, do you really think that how loved you are, how forgiven you are, how blessed you are, how healed you are, is anything to do with how much you read your Bible or how holy you try to be or how many rules you try to keep? Again, good things. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to read his word. God wants us to have a great prayer life. But he's saying that is not the source of your glory. That is not the source of your healing. That is not the source of your forgiveness. The source of all of that is simple trust that God is good. It is trust that there's nothing I could do. Like we said last week, there is nothing that we can do apart from him. All we can do is trust and believe. And it is at that moment that God is able to break in and do all these commanded. I love the next line that Morpheus says to Neo. He says, after that, he says, do you think that that's real air that you're breathing right now in the Matrix, in this computer? And maybe Morpheus was picking up on Job's words. Now, Job, if you've ever read his story, first of all, congratulations. It's a long book full of really, really dense Hebrew poetry. It's tough to get through sometimes. But in Job's story, he's lost everything. He's at the lowest you very can be. And he's wondering at times, where is God in the middle of this? And yet somehow in Job 33, verse 4, he says this, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty is the one saying, do you really think doing this as a teacher, you are now aware, people, you are now aware that you need to breathe. You are now aware that you need to blink. You are now aware that your jaw has weight and you need to keep it up. You are now aware that your tongue has no comfortable place naturally in your mouth. All of these things that we take for granted. And Job here is saying, do you really think that you're in control of the very breath you breathe? No, like Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Every breath is a gift from God. And I just want to say this morning, receiving that is just all about trust, all about breathing in the grace of God. Everyone take a deep breath in and out. Jesus is saying it's as simple as that. You want forgiveness? You want grace? You want freedom? You want a breakthrough in your world? It is as simple as breathing in the grace of God. Don't make excuses. Don't think, oh, it's not because I'm not strong enough, or I don't have enough faith, or I haven't been on my best behavior this week, or I haven't been to church enough. Again, all good things. But where does the miraculous come from? It is through breathing in, trusting the very breath of God. And then Morpheus says, come on, Neo. Come on. Stop trying to hit me and hit me. And I believe God is saying this morning, stop trying to do the work of a Christian and just be a Christian. Stop trying to do grace and just live in grace. Stop trying to earn forgiveness and just be forgiven. And sure enough, in the scene, shortly after this, Neo realizes, I've just got to trust. I've just got to be the one. I don't have to try and do. I just have to be in that situation. And sure enough, he hits him, and he hits him hard. Maybe God is saying to you this morning, not stop trying to hit me and hit me. He's saying, like, come on, just stop trying to do the work of a Christian and just be. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul sums this up way better than I ever could. Ephesians 2, 8. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. He saved you by rules, not when you said the right thing or did, not when you were holy enough, not when you followed enough rules, not when you said the right thing or did the right thing, when you believed, when you trusted in him. And you can't take credit for this. He's really hammering the point home. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. I'm losing track of the days. Again, I'm living in deep time. This is baby brain. However many months it is till Christmas at the end of the year. Little Joseph is going to be 10 months old. He'll be toddling around, crawling, going to get his first Christmas presents and things like that. And if I give a present to Joseph, if I give him a gift, he's not going to say to me, in whatever words he's capable of saying, he's not going to say to me, oh, thanks, Dad, how much do I owe you? Or how can I pay you back? Or how many times do I have to, you know, do my chores or tidy up or cut the grass in order to earn this gift? No, it's a gift. And like we said last week, who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? Who feels most at home in the presence of God, in the culture of heaven? It is the little kids, Jesus says. The ones who humble themselves like children. Not slaves, not impotent, and everything that comes with it is a gift from God. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. No one can boast about it because we're God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he promised long ago. Did you notice the order there? It says we've been saved as a gift so that we can go and change the world. We've been saved as a gift so that we can share the life and the love and the power of God with everyone we meet. It's not the other way around. Or gone to church however many times that then God says, okay, I'll forgive you. Okay, I'll set you free. Okay, I will heal you. Okay, I will deal with this issue. Okay, I'll give you breakthrough. He says, no. That's where it starts. And out of that place, knowing we are loved, knowing we are set free, knowing we are forgiven, out of that place, we can then go out and change the world. It is a gift from God. I think this morning, maybe God is saying to some folks here, come on, stop trying to do and just be. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, there's a place for good spiritual disciplines. Yes, we believe in fasting and prayer and giving and church and community and fellowship and praise and worship. But that all comes from a heart of saying, I'm loved by my Father. I am forgiven by my King. I am set free and living, being, moving in the grace of God. God doesn't love some nice, neat, and tidy future version of you that has it all together. He wants to make you into that person, sure. But he loves you here and now, today, in this space. And it's out of that, he says, come on, let me carry you forward into your destiny. God is, sure, he's looking for heroes of the faith. But we don't start that way. He's looking for sons and daughters who trust their dad, who make themselves available to his nudges, his call. And then God comes in behind and does all the hard work. God roars on our behalf. This morning, you're his kids. You're his children. And he is so pleased with each and every one of you. God wants to change the world, loved ones. God wants to reach New Malden and wider, this city of London, this nation, this world, bringing grace and justice and freedom. He wants to do that. But he doesn't want to do it without us. Without him, we can't do it. But without us, he doesn't want to do it. God wants to move through you. But he wants to move through you from a place of trust. You have God living inside you. Let that be your source. God is pleased to dwell in you. God is in a good mood with you this morning. Not because you've shown up to church, although thank you. Not because you've read your Bible enough, although well done. Not because you've prayed exactly the right words, although it's important to learn the rhythms of prayer. But he loves you because he loves you. He looked at me, when was it? Half my life ago, 15 years ago. He looked at me. He looked at little old Chris. If you were at the baby party that Lorraine and Janice organized for us, there was a chance for people to share just some really lovely words of encouragement from me and Rachel. And my mum piped up at the end. Now, my mum is not a believer yet. But she did say, you know, she said, even though, you know, my husband and I, we're not churchgoers, we can see the transformation that it's done to what was young Christopher, that little lost soul, how it was the making of him. When you get to the space where you know and you be rather than you think and you do, no, you be in the love of God, you be forgiven rather than trying to do it, everything changes for everyone to see. And 15 years ago, God looked down from heaven at little old me, little old Chris, who was lazy, who was proud, who was dishonest, who was angry and moody at the world, heading down a road of self-destruction. God looked at the mess of my teenage life and said, wow, I'm going to give him everything. I'm going to give him everything. Because I love him. Because I see a better destiny for him. Because I'm going to turn him into something. I remember when I first started going to church, I've told some of you this before, a year or two after that, my youth leader, Stuart, he looked at me over coffee one time and said, you know what, Chris, I can see you leading a church one day. I just thought, nah, you got the wrong guy. No, this is someone who spoke destiny into me, saying he's a key player in my plans. Come on, how great would it be if you could be? How great would it be if you could just be still and know that he is God and know that you are loved and know that you are forgiven? I don't know why it is sometimes where we just feel the burden of life sometimes. I don't know why it is how in some situations, you know, I've been physically healed and in other things I haven't. I don't know why it is sometimes when I pray for one thing and God answers straight away and then I pray for another thing and then nothing seems to happen. at least not at first. I don't know why. But I do know that God is good. I do know that I cannot allow my faith to drop down to the level of my experience. I've got to day in, day out, raise my faith again. Raise it up and know God in me, I simply be in the love of God. When I recognize that in Him and not in me, not in my strategy, not in my strength, in Him, I simply live and move and have my being. I get to go out and have the best job possible. I get to destroy hell for a living. Teenager, or doesn't matter where I'm at, whether I was working in W.H. Smith as a teenager or a student or then school teacher or then a chaplain at the hospital or church work or family life or whatever it might be. Doesn't matter where you're at. Your job title, if you choose God's army, is to destroy hell for a living. It's to be a key player in God's army. Come on, you don't just have to wait to go to heaven someday. You can bring heaven to earth now. Everywhere you see hell now on earth, you can bring heaven. You can bring the kingdom of God. You can bring the life and the light and the goodness of God. God is good all of the time. And if any of you have been in church for a while, all the time God is good. But don't just say it. Know it. Live it. And then go and show and tell the world. The world needs this. But the world will only get it from sons and daughters. The world won't get it from employees or slaves or people who are just trying to do the gospel, do the ministry of God, do the Christian life, do discipleship. They're looking for sons and daughters who will be disciples, who will be followers, who will be the miracle that people need. You might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. Come on, you can just be that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the psalm says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things that he does for me. He forgives all of my sins. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. You're never too young. You're never too old. The Lord gives righteousness, literally right relationship and justice. Don't make it treated unfair. Don't forget what it means to be a child, no matter how old you are. Don't forget what it means to be a kid. Imagine what would happen if Christians all over the world, or even just in this church, imagine what would happen if this group of people here, you and me, really actually knew, not just thought, not just acted out, but we really knew in our heart of hearts who we are, and then we took it out to the street. We took it out there. It's a new season, no matter what the weather says, no matter the hailstorm that was yesterday, the rain and things like that. It is a new season. Spring truly has arrived. So what are you going to do? In a season of new beginnings, in a season of new life, longer and brighter days, warmer weather, what are you going to do? Can you dream bigger? Can you be? We've got various plants in and around our flat. And they don't have to struggle. If you plant an apple tree, it might take a little while sometimes, but eventually you'll get fruit from that tree. They don't have to strive. You don't walk through a forest and hear all kinds of strange noises of like straining just to try and produce fruit. It's natural. It's quietly, confidently, silently. It'd be weird if it didn't. Today, this week, this new season, just be in the presence of God. I want to ask you, is there a dream that you've given up on? Is there a prayer that you've lifted up for so long that seemingly has not gone answered the way that you wanted to and you've just allowed it to fall? Have you been making excuses? Have you been trying to strive and do and pay back God and earn I want to say, come on, now's the time to just rest in grace. I don't mean take your foot off the gas and stop going to work, but what I am saying, do all of that from a place of, and out of that, be in the life, the love, the grace of God. And out of that flows everything else. How about we stand to our feet? I'd love to pray for you because, again, you might just be hearing all of this, but it's not my clever words that will change heart. It is only the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that will do that. And again, this isn't a religious thing. This isn't, you know, there's nothing magical or anything in it. But I would love it if you would raise your hands in this space. You might want to close your eyes, but just with your hands lifted like that in a posture of surrender, where you're holding your life, your situation, that one thing you've been praying for, with an open hand. You're not holding onto it with a clenched fist, trying to control it, trying to do it, trying to earn it, trying to work it in your own strength. But you're, and this might be tricky for some of you, but just you're holding it with an open hand and you're saying, God, this thing, and it'll be different for each and every one of you, a situation, a person, your work, a sickness, a struggle, a burden, a weight, might well be, feel like your whole life, but whatever it is, God, here, with an open hand, I trust you, and I hand it over to you. I choose in this moment, even though I don't know how necessarily, or I don't feel like it, but I choose in this moment to hold everything in my life with an open hand, to trust you. I surrender. I admit that I've tried to do this life my way, and I just can't. But I know that in you, I truly can live and move and have my being. I'm sorry for getting it the wrong way around. I'm sorry for, but today, I turn around. That's all the word repentance means. Just turn around. I turn around, and I choose to be your son or daughter. I choose to be your child. I choose to be a follower, not striving, not trying to earn it or pay it back, not trying to twist your arm with my clever words or my religious obligations, but I am still. I choose to be still and know that you are God. I trust you. And as I do, thank you, God, that you will do all the hard work. You will forgive because you died for me. You will set me free because you rose again. You will heal me, empower me, bring me into my destiny because your Holy Spirit is at work in me. I choose to put first things first, and that is a trust and a faith and a belief that you are who you say you are, and you're not finished with me yet. And just in these final moments, as always, we want to pray a prayer for anybody who's in here who has never actually come to the point where they've given their life to Jesus. Or maybe you did a long time ago, but you know that you haven't been walking with God. Maybe you fell into the trap of doing instead of being. Let me tell you, today's the perfect day to come home and to trust in God again, to be loved, to be set free, to be forgiven, and to be given a brighter future. So we're going to pray a prayer out loud all together. I'll pray a line and you can pray it back after me. For those of us who already follow Jesus, it's just a simple declaration of faith, but we're doing this all together as a family. If there's anyone in here who's doing it for the first time or as a way of recommitting your life. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that paid for my sin, and his resurrection to give me new life. I'm sorry for doing things my way, but today I receive, make me new, and today I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I choose to be your child. Amen. just in this final moment, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, just as a private moment. It's only me looking around. But if that was you, if you prayed that prayer either for the first time or as a way of recommitting your life to Jesus, I just want you to do something super brave for a moment. I won't embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything like that. But if that was you, with just me looking around, how about on the count of three, you just stick up your hand, I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it back down again. So one, two, three. Brilliant. I see that hand. I see that hand too. Fantastic. Two people so far giving their life to Jesus. Is there anyone else in this space? You're saying yes to God. Yes to a life of being forgiven, being set free, being loved. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. Be a cause for celebration in just a moment. Lorraine's going to tell you more in just a sec.
Awesome. God is so good. I always get so excited when we're in situations like this because I knew He will do something new. I knew there will be testimonies. I knew there will be new stories starting today that in 2 or 3 months or years we will look back and say, that is the day that Jesus, He came into my life and He did something and I will forever be changed. And I just want to say that if you raised your hand today and you made a decision to do life with Jesus, even if you didn't raise your hand, I just want to say to you, this is probably the best decision that you have ever made in your life. We want to celebrate that with you. There is a QR code that you can scan for more information to get in touch with us. I want to say that today, if you made that decision, you don't have to do life alone anymore. Everything that happens next port you in your next steps in this journey. So if there are any questions, if there are any doubts in what's going to happen, come to Pastor Chris. Come to the leadership here. We want to do life with you. Amazing. Next is going to come up a QR code for giving. If you like what you see here today, we'd love for you to sow into this vision. We'd love for you to sow into what is happening here. If you're a guest, of course, feel free just to explore and to enjoy what is happening here on the house for a little while. But in a few seconds, we're going to go out with a song of praise. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate and go into this next week with joy. There will be buckets going through, so if you do want to give, do that. But as I said, the QR code can be scanned. You can give online. That's what a lot of us do here. But for now, let's go out with a song of praise. Join us for hospitality in the back. Join us for Easter next week. I hope you have a good week. Let's hand over to the team one final time.
Right, church, we just invite you to stand to your feet. And we're going to go out declaring that our joy is found in Him. Come on.
My heart, it's my joy, it's aiming,
nothing's going
morning. Have a great Sunday and a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.